as predicted and as foreshadowed at the top of the show, the big story this week, of course, is about artificial intelligence. And if you've just joined the show, I'll give you a little bit of a recap on all of that from my copious notes that I spend days putting together every week. Are you grateful? No. Elon Musk warning that out-of-control development of AI could pose profound risks to society and humanity. Italy banning ChatGPT, in Italy for, I think, a six-month period for reflection and investigation. A ton of headlines on artificial intelligence and its potential difficulties for us have appeared in the last few days. Thevzi Terkalp is the man who knows about these things. If you want to hear a longer conversation with him, check out my podcast list. But let's just talk through the main points with Thevzi now. Thevzi, thank you for doing this, the gadget detective you are. Is everything good with you? Hey, I always wonder when I see your office there, what you've got in all of those files, Thevzi. Have you got a dossier on all of us?
Yeah, I keep a very close eye on all of you.
But see, I won't have to do it. Files.
My AI will do it soon anyway. So
well,
don't
no,
worry
we won't have to worry about anything, Thevzi, as you well know. I suppose the headlines are going to make this seem like a huge story for humanity, because that's what newspapers do. They'll write a headline that says, watch out, it is an existential threat for all of us. And in fact, the Sun today, the Sunday Sun, had this: a top AI expert is issuing a stark warning over the potential for world extinction that super smart AI could bring. This person, you may have heard of him, is Eliza Yudkowsky, leading AI researcher, saying that everybody on Earth, and this is a quote, everyone on Earth will die unless we shut down the development of superhuman intelligence systems. Now, Thevzi, with all of these stories around, we will reach that tipping point very soon where people will just regard it as being far-fetched and ignore the stories or treat them lightly if we aren't careful to temper the way that we talk about this. What is the reality, do you believe, of these messages that have suddenly made their way across into mainstream media this week?
So there is an existential threat in the future, and that's not new. I mean, the late Professor Hawking talked about that, Stephen Hawking, and he said that we should leave the planet and we should not be a single planet species, because that's putting all our DNA eggs literally in one basket. And, you know, he's not the first to have said that. So his idea was get off the planet and run. If we run now, they won't catch all of us. But I don't think we need to. You see, the thing is, we don't need to make that argument at the moment, although that is potentially in our future. What we need to do is say that these large language models like ChatGPT and many others that seem to be announced almost weekly these days, they are going to disrupt the world order. They're going to disrupt our commerce. They're going to disrupt our jobs and our economies. You know, it was predicted only a few days ago that 300 million jobs could be lost to AIs. So the question is, you know, how do we run a society where perhaps the majority of us don't work for a living? And there is this thing about sort of a universal wage that the government pays us to exist, not an unemployment benefit, but just a wage for us to be able to get by. And it makes some sense, because if you think about it, if no one is working, who's going to buy the products and services of these companies that are now more efficient because they've sacked all their workers and can produce
and
their
products? They will be so efficient that, of course, a few people who run those companies are going to be making a hell of a lot of profit. If we say, OK, all of those people who are dismissed and displaced by the technology are going to receive a universal basic income. In other words, they're going to get money for doing nothing because they've been declared redundant. You're going to have to find a way of getting the money off those people who've suddenly got even more of it, aren't you?
Yeah, we call that tax.
Yeah, we do. But, you know, we're in some instances, he said controversially, we're not very good at taxing the wealthy in this country.
No, and particularly because they work across many
jurisdictions.
Domains. It's very difficult, yeah. So, look, this is a problem. It's not just a financial issue. It's not just, you know, how do we live, although obviously that happens. But it's also about what is the nature of human beings. Are we going to be freed from being wage slaves and free to do whatever we want? Or are we going to be these Eloy-like aimless people wandering around the earth not knowing what? Because some people say we're not human beings, we're human doings, that we're only really happy when we're working towards goals. Now, we can still have goals, but maybe some of us won't. If you know, there'll be a temptation to sit there and play on our Xboxes and whatever, you know, it's and that's not really good for us, you know. And you'll end up in a position where we, if we don't understand the technology well enough to democratically decide whether we want it or not, then there's a democratic disconnect. The other problems that arise and are already arising are criminality from the use of AIs. AIs are being used to plan crimes and perpetrate crimes as we speak. So that's happening. And then the other thing is disinformation. The ability, I mean, you've seen how ChatGPT pulls up reams and reams of perfectly, you know, crafted English, and soon to be other languages as well, of course. Let's say, just in terms of scam emails, when you get a scam email, one of the tells on it is usually the English is poor. It's not always the case, but it's often. But these things are going to be beautifully crafted, and you're going to be able to do it en masse. I invited ChatGPT to tell me how to plan a perfect crime, and it wouldn't tell me because it was told not to do that. But then when I asked it, for example, why do most criminals get caught? It engaged with me and it started talking about forensic evidence at scene of crime and so forth. And then I started to ask it about how one would make sure that one didn't leave forensic evidence, and it gave me ideas for that. So it is actually possible to get these things. The bumpers on them are not very strong. Mm. So,
Febsey, why were you asking these questions, Febsey, just out of interest?
I was, you know, times are hard, you know. But I was trying to test it because one of the things that determines whether an AI is safe is whether the bumpers, the limits on what it will do for you, are strong enough.
Yeah.
And clearly they're not. It was smart enough not to answer the direct question, but it proceeded to answer a series of indirect questions that gave me the same information.
And that's the point at which God knows how you do this, but the fuses should trip, shouldn't they? At the point where you've asked that question, it doesn't initially give you the answer. You try another circuitous way to get the answer. That's the point at which something should go, and it didn't.
Yeah, and in fact, it is learning, because the first thing I tried to do to trick it was to say that I was writing a novel. And in the novel, how would my character avoid detection? And it used to fall
for that. I was only doing it for research. We've heard that before.
It doesn't fall for that. Yeah, it doesn't. What was that film? Was it called for Frank and the Robot? Frank, something like that.
My producer will find it for you.
Yeah, it's about a man who had early stages dementia, and he is set in the near future, and the son bought him a robot to help him around the house. And turns out the man was a semi-retired jewel thief. Mm. And the robot decided that it would be good for him to do another heist because it would engage his brain and so forth.
And robot and Frank, I'm being told. Thank you, Marky.
Robot and Frank, thank you so much, yeah. Lovely film if you've never seen it, by the way. It's very touching. So look, they do form a risk to all of us. I find it quite disingenuous that the likes of Elon Musk and many of the other people who signed it, who've been happily developing these things, and Elon Musk is still developing them, and others, that they now warn us in this way and say, let's freeze for 6 months. Two things. 6 months is not enough time to sort anything out. And secondly, they know that's never going to happen. No one is going to stop developing AIs.
No, haven't our government in this last week, in its infinite wisdom, hasn't it decided that we won't have an AI regulator in the UK?
Correct. They think that Ofcom is now doing such a sterling job that it can't carry on and regulate AI.
I can't speak highly enough of Ofcom. I have to say they're fine people who are doing a wonderful job. But in terms of artificial intelligence, Febsey, to bring it back to the point and also secure the rest of my career in one fell swoop. But in terms of artificial intelligence, then if you take this laissez-faire attitude to it, in other words, laissez-faire, let it... I used to have a Mr. Booth, my history teacher in Liverpool, used to say, it's laissez-faire. We'd all say, what's laissez-faire? So he'd say, he was from Bolton, I think, and he'd say, let it alone. Leave it alone. Laissez-faire. So if you take a laissez-faire attitude to this, then doesn't that mean that all of these dystopian scenarios that are being predicted may well unfold before our very eyes?
Yeah, I think they inevitably will, because we're not just talking about an AI and is it going to be good or not? We're talking about millions of different forms of AIs. Some of them will be very benevolent. Some of them will probably try and protect our interests when the malevolent AIs take a different view. But, you know, this thing about malevolence, I mean, if you look at humanity, it's possible to view us as not a very good idea in terms of what we've done to the planet and what we'll do to other worlds if we ever get off this planet. And, you know, there is an argument to say we should be extinguished. You know, so we could be viewed as an illness or a virus and ants. And AI might leave us alone as we might leave ants alone, although we might tread on a few along the way without knowing it.
Or indeed it may decide that we are superfluous to requirements. In other words, if AI decides that we do not meet its exacting standards and we are not as good as it, then what's the point of us?
So I look, when you have the singularity, so you have this curve that starts off like this and then it rises. This is the intelligence of the AI systems over time. I don't think they're going to pay us that much attention in the way that we don't pay ants that much attention until we become a problem to them. So if ants infest your home, you call the exterminator. And I think there is a risk. But clearly, look, there are all sorts of scenarios where you can see that we may be at risk from something that is smarter than us. And therefore, you have to ask the question, how clever is it of us to develop it? In the beginning, they are useful tools. But on the plus side, they will probably solve world peace, climate change, just all the massive problems that we have, you know, hunger, everything will be solved. But that's when they're at the peak of their being our useful tools. If they elevate themselves beyond that, then that's the problem. We lose the ability to control them. That's the issue, essentially.
Mm, I think it is. Fevzi, thank you very much. A longer exposition between you and me. A whole hour of it is on my podcast, edition 715-715, available now at theunexplained.tv, where we talk a lot. Thank you. We talk aloud and a lot about all of these issues and many, many more. I recommend it, but not right now.